Canuck Central here in the Mobile Kintec studio. We are live on location. We're going to be staying here all night for the big game. Boston Pizza on Grandview Highway as Canada gets set to take on the Americans in the Four Nations face-off final. Not sure how many seats will be available for tonight, but you can call your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza and try to find yourself a table. There's a couple of huge projector screens here at the Grandview Highway location, so expecting a big crowd for the big game. They got an all-new feature menu. Unwrap a whole new world of flavor with our latest feature menu at Boston Pizza. From bold new dishes to comforting classics, there's something to satisfy every craving. My craving tonight is a lot of the good eats here at Boston Pizza and a good hockey game set.
Yeah, I want Canada to beat the U.S. really badly. Yeah, that's what I want. And the closer we get to puck drop, the more I want to see Canada win.
The closer you get, the more you're like,
I'm getting fired up.
Yeah. The fan is coming out.
getting fired up.
Satyar Shah tonight.
Yeah, good thing we don't have beverages during the show.
Yeah, that's probably probably a good thing. You even wore your finest red T-shirt.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to represent.
I saw Jamie today wearing an old 2010 Team Canada jersey. Our pal Bick Nizar wearing a Drew Doughty Team Canada jersey.
I didn't know anybody had Drew Doughty Canada jerseys.
Bick Nizar does.
Yeah. Custom made, probably.
Nizar just stopped by. He was driving by. I'm going to stop by and say hi to these idiots.
It's probably because I was still an Eastern guy back in 2010. But like, I was.
Do you want to do a round table or something
I was totally in on Drew Doughty being Canada's best defenseman even in 2010. I mean, of course, Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger were on the team, but like 20-year-old Drew Doughty was pretty unbelievable in that tournament too.
Yeah, so. He was pretty unreal.
Hi, cowards.
What's going on?
I'm like,
he's here. Maybe I'll put him to work.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I literally just.
You didn't have a people show today, so.
No, yeah, I didn't have to work today.
He's like, you need to get. Dick needs to fire his takes off. He's like, instead of calling it, I'll just show up. Maybe they'll put me on.
This is
how do I get a paycheck for today?
This is one of those days where we just get to be absolute fans.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm sitting here wearing a jersey. This rules.
I know. It's and hey, like, you know, as I always tell young broadcasters, it's like you better be a huge fan of hockey because you're going to watch a ton of hockey. You're going to watch hockey till your eyes bleed, and you're going to love it. And that's how you're going to make it in this business.
You're going to get up and watch some more hockey.
And that's kind of the way that it goes. But it's like. Yeah, like, we didn't get into this business because we weren't fans. Like, oh, I think it would be fun to talk sports on the radio. Like, yeah, because you're a massive sports fan, which is maybe the most obvious thing I've ever said.
So you're actually passionate about this?
But, you know, I've met athletes that, like, happen to be professional athletes that were like, meh.
Yeah, dude, I'm just really good at skating.
I'm just really good at this.
Yeah. I'm just good at talking. So, I mean, that's just why I do this. No.
But, as you were saying, like, a day like today is just a reminder. It's like. Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, this
is a lot of fun. And not even just for us. It's just like everyone, right? Like, I heard you guys. I was listening to you guys as I was driving in, too.
P1.
We got a P1er.
But just that element you were talking about, Sad, is just like, yeah, you feel a sense of national pride into this, right?
Yeah.
It's going to charge up a lot of people. And so because we haven't seen this for so long, who isn't amped up for this?
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives all the time, too, right? And, you know, and we have all these, like, petty things that we hold against people in other cities in Canada, other provinces sometimes or whatever. And, you know, for all the stuff that's stupid over what Trump's saying, it's been kind of cool to see people get unified behind it, too, to some extent, right? And especially over an event like this, to have the national pride. And, you know, you see a lot of Canadians right now, you know, they're representing, wearing red. Yeah. And, you know, you see people in stores being like, buy Canadian. They kind of talk to each other. And, I don't know, it's kind of cool seeing that happen. It doesn't happen all the time. And now that we have, like, this actual game that's on the line and represents something bigger to a lot of people, it just makes it, to me, a lot more interesting and fun.
Dropping the hatred for our own politicians and suspending it.
Sports is so great. It's harmless enough for all to unify every once in a while.
I mean, you know, the whole idea of like stick to sports and all that, and I'm sure there's people that just like want nothing of the political conversation that's a part of tonight's game now, but. Politics and sports often do intersect. A lot of the time it is self-inflicted by the leagues themselves with, you know, the anthem and the military and things that go on at sports games every single night. But this is, it's become
way bigger than anybody expected it to. One, because the players have invested themselves into it in the way that they would a Stanley Cup playoff game. And two, because Donald Trump has made this a game bigger than just a game for some people with all of the rhetoric that he's brought into the conversation.
Well, it starts too, again, the lead up to the Four Nations tournament, right? The anthem being booed.
Yeah.
And so, like, while I don't have a lot of opinions on that, right, everyone's free to do what they want in the arena, I can understand it from an American perspective, be like, well, that's annoying. So you got that charged up moment on Saturday, and now you get a final, which from the hockey sporting perspective, it raises the stakes a little bit. But, yeah, it's like, how much do you want to invest in it knowing that this is not the Olympics? This is not a historic, like, sanctioned, like, World Cup of hockey, all the best are here. It, like, the sporting aspect feels like it takes a bit of a backseat, but everything that's transpired here between the political leaders and the booing of the anthems, like, led to two awesome games, or one on Saturday and one later tonight.
Yeah, and I know it's interesting because we were talking to Frank, and there's a different perspective from an American, because to them,
of course,
the political thing is a completely non-issue. Like, they don't care about it. Like, some of you don't even know what the issue is.
They're not the ones being belittled,
right? Like, they're not up. You know, they don't care about it at all, right? But they're looking at it as it's our.
We're
chance.
Not the ones being like, we're going to make you the 11th province.
No, yeah, no, well, and if anything, they're looking at it as like we're going to become the hockey superpower. That's what they're trying to view this as. This is going to be the passing of the torch. We're going to take the torch from you, and we're going to be the leaders in hockey now, right? And I think that's how a lot of Americans are viewing it, and I think that's what they're excited about. And I think it has a lot of merit as far as like how far the American game has come. Like, you know, before this was politicized, a lot of the conversation we've been having was, is Canada still the top nation in talent?
Yeah,
we have the best players, the top two or three best players. But look at the goaltenders. Look at the defensemen. Look at the depth of the American talent pool. Like, have they closed the gap? Are they ready to take over? I think that's a real conversation.
Yeah.
And that's been overshadowed, but not for Americans, because that's how they're viewing this opportunity. This is going to be our chance to be the hockey superpower.
It's we've always found a way to keep ourselves on top whenever this conversation has come up. But I don't know if I ever looked at the U.S. team and said, and looked at the two teams on paper and been like, man, it's really close in the way that I have for this team. And sure, the U.S. has had some incredible players, but even, you know, I joked the other day with Donnie, like, you look back at the 1996 America team and, like, Steve Kunawalchuk is on that team. You know, it's like it dried up a little bit towards the end of the roster, but now, similarly to Canada, there are stars laden throughout this team. There are stars that were left off this American team, and Quinn Hughes isn't there, the best defenseman in hockey, and they've been able to handle that pretty well. You wouldn't have been able to say that about an American team in the past, so it very much is a conversation, and it's a conversation that's not really going away even if Canada wins tonight.
No, I was having this conversation yesterday, too, of, like, okay, no matter which way the result goes, right, I know it'll be sour, and it'll be like, oh, man, Canada lost, and it'll suck to be on air tomorrow and all that sort of stuff. But as far as, like, projecting who's still, like, I would say the best team come the Olympics,
yeah,
I'm still going to say Canada.
Yeah.
We've just got a far bigger history. Like to me, like, the biggest issue right now for Team Canada is the selection process.
Yeah.
Could we pick better goalies?
Yeah, and we still have the two best prospects in the game, too.
Still have the two
young,
best
young players in the game, Bedard and Celebrini. Yeah.
And we still got the two best players right now as it stands, and McDavid and MacKinnon. Because this is not like this is still an exhibition tournament.
Yeah.
The real stakes are a year from now in the Olympics. But, yeah, it's fair to say, like, America has now crossed the threshold of the tier that they're on the same tier.
Yeah.
But every single time, we're going to be back in Canada.
So what's the big question for tonight's game? Is it simply Jordan Binnington?
I think that's the big existential Canadian question, right? Like, is the goaltending going to hold up? And, yes, of course, that's the big question. But as far as, like, the matchup of the game, like, what's going to happen through the neutral zone especially, I think Canada's speed is going to give the Americans a lot of trouble tonight.
I think as far as, like, big questions, the two that I've thought about the most, like, legacy games here, Connor McDavid, Cale Makar.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two guys I'm thinking about the most.
and negating or nullifying any speed or generating speed through the neutral zone, I'm looking at Cale Makar for that. But as far as, like, embracing a moment, just because we've had moments, right? Joe Sakic has done it. Sidney Crosby has done it. Now, yeah. Connor McDavid, like, you're the one in the limelight in this spot. We've waited 10 years for this.
Yeah.
It's been 15 years since 2010. And even 2014, like, it was so much domination
yeah.
that it almost, like, the rooting spirit almost got beat out of it. It's like, wow, we're so much better than everyone else.
Yeah.
So, like, this is Connor McDavid's big moment.
Yeah.
And if he can rise up to it, man, that's going to be huge.
Honestly, like, Crosby was obviously the star of 2010. Doughty felt like the star for me in 2014, just controlling the puck at will. And, yeah, McDavid has that opportunity tonight. And if you think about, you know, he ran the tank was empty in Game 7 against the Florida Panthers. For as much as he dragged that series back to 3-3, the tank was absolutely on empty by the time they got to the end of that Game 7. And he shouldn't have that issue tonight. He scores a worldie of a goal on Saturday, but the U.S. team plays great defense through the rest of that game and shuts down their speed through the neutral zone. And that's why I think Makar is such a big part of tonight's game, because he wasn't there on Saturday. You know, Canada lost Shea Theodore and Makar before that game on Saturday, and it's like, okay, Thomas Harley, get in there. And, you know, you also have Travis Sanheim, who ended up being, I think, the low man on some of these games for Canada, as he was the seventh defenseman coming into the tournament. So you lost two of your better transition game defensemen in Theodore and Makar that I think really affected Canada's game on Saturday and helped the U.S. in their ability to snuff out any Canadian attack.
And look how good Theodore was and been playing this season, right?
Yeah.
I know he's gotten the Canuck Central bump this year as well. So he's been playing so well, and that was a huge absence. And now you get Cale Makar back in there. I hope, you know, helps create a bit more puck transport as well.
And I think in games like this, there's always somebody that's unlikely hero that steps up and does something, and that's kind of what I'm also kind of wondering about. Like, what type of player would have success in a game like this? And it's honestly the most cliche, boring hockey thing. Who's going to go to the net most?
Brendan Hagel, man.
Right? Like, it's going
to
be someone like that, right?
Man.
You might have to.
What a dude.
I think it's going to be someone like that, because I think in these games, and this is going to sound stupid, but it comes down to will determination, who can get to the net better. Like that's what it's going to be. If they're going to be playing at the level
which they struggled at
right.
on Saturday.
And who's going to do that tonight, right? Oh. And you want it to be your best players. I want Nathan MacKinnon to drive, but you see how much attention goes towards trying to harness those guys and corral them throughout the ice. Who else is going to step up? I think Brandon Hagel is a great one.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand, probably. I can see him having a...
Well, late game the other game on Saturday. It's like some guys felt like they were ill-equipped to be in those moments.
Yes.
And it's not even that I think Brad Marchand's the best player on Team Canada.
But he's been there, man.
But, man, like, he did not look terrified.
No.
And even at an advanced age and all these things, like, just get him out there, and dudes like that will figure it out.
Seth Jarvis comes into the lineup for tonight's game. Travis Konecny is going to be out. You know, I do want to see, like, it wouldn't be an unsung hero, but, like, you know, Mitch Marner had the OT goal against Sweden. He's done nothing else in the tournament.
Yeah.
He's been a ghost the rest of the tournament.
Yeah.
And that's Mitch Marner's reputation coming over from the Leafs and obviously what they've gone through in the playoffs. But do you get a performance out of him? Do you get a big moment out of him? He's one of your more talented players. Now playing further down the lineup, is there a moment for him that he could take advantage of? Because, you know, it's going to be hard with the top lines. They're going to have their moments, but they're also going to get the best that the U.S. has to offer.
If you're doing like a power rankings, or if we just did a draft right now of like the guys we trust to create a moment, man, like Marner feels like 17 to me.
Yeah, he feels right? Very low.
That's what I mean.
I think, like, we all recognize the talent.
If we're talking,
like,
about unexpected contributor, he would be the most unexpected for me. I'd expect more out of Seth Jarvis than I do out of Mitch Marner.
Yeah, honestly, I was
in a big game.
I was totally thinking about that. Like, Jarvis can shoot the puck really well.
Mm, yeah.
Like, if there's a guy that can get a little bit of speed off the rush and be able to snipe one pass Hellebuck, it could very well be Seth Jarvis.
The nice thing about the Marner thing is at least there's, like, trust defensively.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a lot of worries of what he's going to do in the defensive zone and, oh, he's going to make a mistake.
And thankfully, there's been emergence of guys and the firepower the team does have. You don't really need to rely on him offensively.
Yeah.
But you just like to see the natural talent play itself out on the biggest stage. But like as far as guys that I feel like can do it, and Braden Point to me is up there. Crosby, of course. Mark Stone.
I really do think Point is the most underrated superstar in the game right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy because he's won cups and he's been so good, but
45 goal scorer multiple times.
Yeah. It almost feels like he's in the Sasha Barkov kind of conversation now, that like Kucherov has overshadowed him in Tampa for so long, and people just don't realize how good Braden Point actually is. It's like, yeah, you could easily put him in the conversation of top five center in the game today, and he never really gets that kind of love.
He's in that tier.
Yeah.
Right?
He's in that tier, guys.
It's just tough to – in a tier that exists with McDavid, McKinnon,
yeah.
Barkov,
yeah.
Draisaitl.
Eichel now has played his way into that conversation again. You know, the physicality was – outstanding on Saturday.
Well, it was outstanding for the Americans because I think it plays to their hands. So if Kreider's going to play this game, they want to have his physicality. They want to have Brady and Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Let them chase you around all night, man. Honestly, like, I know in Vancouver's a sore spot.
But they weren't chasing hits. They were landing hits Saturday.
But
they felt like wrecking balls.
But
within the flow of the play, though, too.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're going to also want to fight or, like, you know, they want to intimidate. Yeah. Don't get into that.
Do you think there's going to be a fight today?
I don't know if there's going to be a fight unless somebody's up 2-0. Then I think someone's going to try to force a fight.
I don't know. There's been too much group chat talk these last couple days that I don't know.
It's
I don't know if the group chats have been popping off the same way.
Yeah. Darn group chats.
It's a game seven type, right? So I'm not expecting a fight. But I'm saying is, like, don't get caught up in the Americans trying to be about the physical and, like, the bully aspect of things.
Yeah.
Like, don't get into that. Don't try to retaliate after a hit. Like, stay away from that. If anything, make them chase you. Make them try to get you off your game. You know, don't play into their hands in this one.
100%. And it's not that it's not Canada's identity, but it's not one of their foremost traits to play that physically with this group of players that they have.
Don't try to be something you're not.
Yeah.
Go out and prove that you're the more physical hockey team. Be the faster, more skilled team.
And you stood up to the fights the other night. Like, I don't think there's going to be any staged fights. I mean, we'll see what happens in warm up in a few minutes, but like, it doesn't feel to me like you're going to have the same fireworks that you had on Saturday to start this game tonight.
I don't know. Part of me just still feels like there's going to be one.
Yeah.
At least one.
There might be. I mean, we'll see. The Tkachuk brothers, you can't push anything past the Bash brothers, as they're now being called.
So I really like Brady Kachuk's game. Big fan of even going back to the draft class.
Are they even fully healthy, though? Like, both of them.
Yeah. Right. But is Brady a player who might do something stupid tonight? Like, his discipline.
We saw that against the Canucks in Ottawa.
Right. Yeah.
He was all over the place.
And he's fought that this year, and he's actually harnessed it a lot better towards the end. But this is the biggest game he's ever played.
Yeah.
For a lot of these guys. Yeah. Is someone going to do something stupid tonight to really hurt their team? That could happen, right?
For a lot of the Americans, it's the biggest game that they've ever played. And certainly Brady Tkachuk has that element to him. So you wonder about that. Also, like, it was probably the most on brand JT Miller thing to say that he wasn't a fan of the group chats becoming public.
I mean, there's
never been a more on-brand JT Miller thing in the history of JT Miller things.
I saw a meme was pretty funny, and it said something along the lines of, JT Miller, don't start beef with your teammates, challenged, failed. Impossible, can't do it. So, already, hey, just all jokes, right? Tongue-in-cheek, but
we'll send that conversation over to MSG Radio.
It was so perfect to see that element get played into tonight's game as well. And, you know, this U.S. team, for as much as, like, you know, the talk about the overall talent on their side, like, who scares you the most on that U.S. team? Now, Dylan Larkin ends up scoring the winning goal on Saturday. That's an unexpected source, especially with the ice time he had been getting in the tournament. It comes off a janky change. So, yeah, they weren't listening to Rick Tocchet telling them to keep their changes tight. But I haven't seen enough out of Austin Matthews in this tournament. Like, for me, he
should be the answer.
From forwards, like, Jack Eichel has been probably the player that I've watched and been most impressed by every time I watch the Americans.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Jack Eichel is kind of like American Steve Yzerman in some sure. sense, right? Like, he never had the peak offensively, but we know he's capable of doing so. But
he's flipped the switch mentally, where he's just trying to win the game now.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And I think he could score way more than he already showed. But I think
it's Barkov-esque.
It really is. But I think offensively, he's really gifted. His vision, his creativity as well. Like, there are moments where he'll just pull something out of nowhere.
Well, and his speed and I mean, just effortless skating strides.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know, part of me wants to say a guy like Jack Hughes, because in a game like this, someone with speed and skill, can you find a moment? But he hasn't played in a game like this, right? Like, he's.
But, like, have you noticed him?
No, I haven't. And that's the thing. Yeah. That's like, you want to say him based on his skill, based on his talent level, but is he capable of it in this moment?
The two guys for me, I think you're. I'm taking your question a bit differently, because I think you were talking about threats to create goals.
Yeah.
Jacob Slavin.
Really?
Like, as far as, like, how he's shut guys down, he played awesome on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Connor Hellebuyck. It's like, oh, my goodness. You get through all these guys, and you're like, oh, we still got Connor Hellebuyck to get through.
Yeah. And that was probably what impressed me the most about the Americans, is just how mature they played on Saturday, especially to close out the game. Maybe not something that you expected. Tobias and Pomo shouting out Zach Werenski as the player that worries him the most.
Yeah, somebody says their power play scares the you-know-what out of me. And I think their power
Canada's power play is pretty – got some good scare tactics about them as well.
100%, but, like, how many – okay, so over-under on power plays tonight, 3.5.
Under.
I'll take the under.
Under. I'll go over.
It's an NHL-sanctioned event, Sat. This ain't the double IHF. Hey, no ticky-tack calls coming tonight.
Thing ever be like, this game's about me today. Everyone's fired up. We got the two political parties going at each other. We got the players, the coaches. They're like, the refs are like, everyone's here to watch me today.
We're the commissioners tonight.
So I guess we're all cheering on Canada because we are Canadians.
Safe assumption.
Yeah.
And I won't be given any prediction other than Canada is winning tonight. And I just I do these games rarely ever disappoint from an entertainment standpoint.
I was prepared to be disappointed on Saturday.
Were you?
And that was
– It was not.
Beyond my expectations.
My only disappointment was the fact that we didn't see Quinn and Makar playing that game. That's my only disappointment. But, like, the way that game started – and I would say, like, the intensity wasn't the same after the first – because, I mean, it exploded. You weren't going to be able to keep the intensity where it was.
But it was
but
tense.
But the pace, but the tense – but the pace of the game – and I got to give the Americans credit. You don't want to be down going into the third – because the Americans defend and play the way they did in the third, they gave Canada nothing.
No.
That was one of the best defensive displays of team hockey I've seen in a long time.
Rick Tocchet, in a closed door, would have said, or behind closed doors, would have loved it.
Yeah.
Would have told you how much he loved it. At least loved the way that it looked. And you know what? It's so good to make another Rick Tocchetism out of this. It was so good that people were making – Canucks Twitter was making the Rick Tocchet joke, like, oh, look, they're just settling for point shots all the time. It's like, well, you get frustrated because there's nothing else there for you, so you just end up taking the point shot and hoping
down
for the
goal.
Best.
You got to make something.
Hoping for the best. Bick, appreciate you stopping by unexpectedly.
Thanks for putting me to work, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for showing up.
About time you went to work, coward. That's Bick Nizar. People show every day at 3:00, and of course Canucks Central post game show as well. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming back. Landon Ferraro is going to join us on Sportsnet 650. Back in on Canucks Central, final segment as we are nearing puck drop in the Four Nations face-off finale, Canada and the U.S. for all the marbles out of Boston. Game going just after 5:00. You can watch on Sportsnet. We're here live on location in the Mobile Kintec studio at the Grandview Highway Boston Pizza. The seats are filling up. People are getting hyped now that we're getting closer to puck drop. And I'm sure those that are getting in early are enjoying a little bit of happy hour here, which goes on until 5 o'clock at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And we've been sampling some of the appies here all afternoon while we've done the show.
Yeah, they've been outstanding, keeping us well-fed, well-nourished so far. And I also look forward to having some beverages after the show.
Once the game gets going, the beverages will start flowing, of course. But yeah, you can join us here at the local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. We're at the Grandview Highway location for the rest of the night, watching the game here as well. They've got two massive projector screens. So in the future, if you're looking for a place to watch the game, this is a spot and a half, you might say. All right, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We've got Landon Ferraro coming up. Is he on the line? Not yet? Okay.
We'll, there we go.
We do have Landon Ferraro, our next guest, joining us. Joins us every Thursday here on Canuck Central. What's happening, Landon? How are you?
Not too much. Just getting ready to watch some hockey.
It's kind of cool. Like, we're fans and we're Canadian, but you've also like donned the Canada jersey in the Olympics, so it's got to be. I mean, you still get to be a fan though, so that's kind of the cool part.
it's crazy how fast once you're done playing, that life feels forever ago. Because like honestly, I'm watching the full tournament. And I'm just a straight fan. Not that I would have been at this level anyway, but like it's. You know, it's been a great tournament. You're getting to see Canada USA twice, you know, in a short span, which we haven't seen for a long, long time at this level, and it's awesome. Like the amount of excitement and texts I'm getting from you know family members and stuff like that are just like so excited for tonight that I haven't talked to hockey or about hockey with them in years. Mm-hmm.
Well, and as far as the game tonight, like how do you feel about it? Like do you feel like Canada's chances? Like what do you think of the matchup?
I think I'm a big fan of Canada for tonight, just in the sense, they've been beaten once. It's hard for a team to win twice in a short tournament against the same team, especially a team like Canada where, you know, they came back and they get the goal, you know, to get the lead the first game. But, you know, like those fights and everything, like they weren't expecting that. Like a lot happened all at once and they handled it decent at the beginning, but things started to tighten up a bit and they just didn't really get to the inside. Like I can imagine tonight they're going to have a lot better, you know, not better, but more of straightforward and understanding of what they need to do to get to the inside and make Hellebuck's night as tough it is or as it can be, because that's really going to be the key for them.
Well, The big missing piece for Canada that's coming back in the lineup for this game is Cale Makar. How much, obviously a big difference, but what does Makar bring that Canada missed on Saturday in the first matchup?
A one-man breakout. Like, you know, we're lucky enough that we get to see it with Quinn Hughes here in Vancouver on a night-to-night basis. And, you know, Makar, there's a reason that those two are always brought up in a sentence together, because he's a one-man breakout as well. He adds a ton of skill on the backhand. He can skate the puck out. He can move the puck, but also he can join the rush, especially, you know, just better than anyone else in that lineup can and better than the majority of guys in the NHL can. So for Canada, if they can drive that puck down deep, you know, use their speed and creativity, open up and find that late player coming in, because you know Makar is going to be jumping up through the middle all night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have we have some news here lineup-wise for the game. No Josh Morrissey. He is out due to illness. Now, there's been a lot going on in the Four Nations. Apparently illness-wise, Makar missed the game, being sick as well. And Thomas Harley steps into the lineup. So pretty big loss for Canada. We spoke a lot about some of the ailments and injuries and absences for the Americans, of course. But a big one for Josh Morrissey not playing for Canada. But I was really impressed, Landon, with what I saw from Thomas Harley in the game that he played. And I know Josh Morrissey is incredible, but I kind of like having a young defenseman like Harley in a game like this, because I don't think he's going to be weighed down by the pressure, because he'll just be so excited to play.
Yeah, and especially where this kind of, I'm assuming it came up pretty last minute if they're waiting this long. Like, I'm sure Harley was, you know, just kind of half waiting to hear if he's going to be able to go or not, but he hasn't been thinking about everything for so long, so for him, he can jump in. He played well in the game that he got in earlier, and, you know, he can move around the ice and stuff. You know, it is a loss, though. Morrissey and Parenko have been solid, and, you know, Morrissey, has been a very good player in Winnipeg for a long time. So, yeah, it goes to someone that's a little less proven in Harley, but he's another really good young player that can step into this lineup and bring some more excitement.
So we know physicality was a big part of the U.S. game plan on Saturday. It's a final now. You don't want to take any unnecessary penalties. It's winner take all. Do you expect that the same level of physicality, maybe not, obviously not the three fights in 9 seconds, but do you expect the U.S. to try and have a similar level of physicality tonight?
I think so, yeah. I think they look at that as, their equalizer and their way to get a step ahead. They are a bigger, tougher team in the sense of physical play, but like you just said, it's a one game final. It's not a best of seven, and for Canada, can you regardless of how USA wants to play, if they want to run around and do all that, well, when guys run around, plays are there to be made. You just have to be able to take that hit. And all these players in Canada have shown, just like the rest of the other three teams in this tournament, like, they care. Like, they want to win. This means a lot. And if they have to take an extra hit at someone taking a good run at them, but they see the open play behind them, they're going to take it all night. And I think that's really where it can play into Canada's hand if USA wants to run around like that.
Yeah, and I saw, Dan texted in, and he said that he wonders if we see guys like Brad Marchand and Sam Bennett making a statement, because they don't want to let that kind of fly with what happened last time. So we'll see ultimately what happens here when the game does begin. But I think as far as Canada's advantage, it is just being able to generate speed, and the Americans did such a great job last time around stifling them through the neutral zone. They barely had any speed getting into the offensive zone. They were great with control of their gaps. They boxed out really well. I mean, it was a masterful defensive performance from the Americans. Canada just can't get in a position, I think, where they're trailing heading into the third, because we saw what happened last time around.
Yeah, and they shut it down really good. And, all I could kind of think about, not all I could think about, but something that popped in my head while I was watching last time was, and we've seen it so much here with the play off the end wall and the power play, where you just have the guy streaking down the other side. Like, if the U.S. are going to do a good job of staying on top and kind of shutting down the neutral zone, like, with Canada's speed, like, you can have a couple set plays. You don't have to use it a ton, but just a couple times earlier in the game and try and back the U.S. off a little bit, buy yourself a bit of space. But if you can get behind them once, with McDavid's speed or McKinnon's speed with that long stretch icing play, well, you might buy yourself a bit of space through the neutral zone again. Like, it's just trying to find a way to poke little holes into it so that the U.S. aren't just, sitting there thinking one thing because everything's in front of them. Like, you have to get pucks behind them and start making them think of different options that can happen and not such a straightforward game. Because you're right, like, they shut it down so well, and they knew, it's like they knew everything Canada was going to try and do at the end of that game.
Yeah, and you end up seeing Canada settling for point shots, looking for tips and rebounds and chaos, and when that's happening, with the amount of talent, the amount of creativity they have on the roster, that the U.S. is doing something right, and I think that's why. Obviously having a lead early would help Canada and being able to stick to that. But you just never know with Jordan Binnington, right? Like, he's played fine in this tournament. But I think the talent level is so equal between these two teams that it might come down to one shot, one goal like it did Saturday night. And more often than not, if you're looking at it objectively, you're choosing Connor Hellebuyck over Jordan Binnington. And that's the challenge that Canada has to overcome tonight.
Yeah, I'll start by saying I would 100% take Hellebuyck as well. Like, everyone would, but but that's not what Canada has. And they have Jordan Binnington that, of course, yeah, he has let in some weak goals. But at the same time, like, he holds the Americans to two, and McDavid's the only one to score. And, like, if... just because it's a national team doesn't make it any different than if we were talking about the Canucks. Like, your best players have to be your best players. And even on a team like this, I mean, there is a difference between Connor McDavid centering the first line and Sam Bennett on the fourth. Like, that is a very different skill level. And, in the next game, you saw how McKinnon jumps back in, Point gets involved, McDavid gets into it. Like, you need your big guys to be there. Marner needs to be able to make plays, and that's really where the difference needs to happen. Like, they need to take over to the point that Binnington just needs to be Binnington and make some, you know, make saves. You know, chances are he's going to let a soft one in, but it seems like once that soft one goes in, he makes huge saves after that. But you need to be able to score more than one goal.
Yeah, and I think in a game like this, like, we talked a lot about the high-end guys, and we were even speaking of some X-factor players. But to me, this is also one of those games where Mark Stone can be a big, big factor, especially with how good he is offensively, but also how good he is defensively and how it can impact the game in so many different ways. And it just seems like somebody's going to score a real greasy goal here tonight, and I hope somebody's on Canada who does that.
Yeah, honestly, like, you're looking at Stone. The one for me that, you know, he's been pretty quiet through this tournament is Reinhardt. And, you know, he gets himself around the net. He's with two real good players. Like, that's the one I could see getting his nose in there a bit, too, and finding that big goal. He did it last year in the playoffs for the Panthers.
You know, I know you were teammates with Brad Marchand when you were in Boston. And, you know, Sat and I were talking earlier just about how, you know, he might be getting up there in age and maybe not the player he once was, but he finds a way to show up in these big games. Like, what is it about his mentality that he's still able to find a way to make an impact, even in a little amount of minutes at this level, best-on-best hockey at his age?
I think it's because he wants to win more than anything. And, you know, he had success and won a cup, in the very beginning of his career, and it's been a long time since he's got to get back to, like, something like this. And he knows that he's a very good player, but he's not the main guy, and he doesn't need to be. And obviously his minutes are quite a bit less here than they are back in Boston, but, you know, he uses that intensity. He knows that he can't just play the game. He needs to, you know, use his mouth, you know, use every part of his game where, you know, try and get some players off their game a bit. Get in there and mix it up and make some plays. But, you know, watching the clip, I'm sure you guys saw it too, after the OT goal that Marner scored, and it was Marchand talking in the room, and he's kind of just joking around, and, you know, like, you know, he's even giving it to Sid, like, risky play, 8-7. Like, all that fun. The guys were, you know, it was quiet in there. And then all of a sudden, guys are laughing. Yeah. Now there's a couple other voices pop in from the background giving it to Crosby. But, like, that's something that he brings to the team as well. Like, he's, I don't know. I'm obviously very biased. I'm a big fan of Brad Marchand and was a huge fan of being a teammate. But, I mean, he can change a game just by being in the dressing room and the way that he interacts with everyone.
So there's been a lot of what's the legacy of this tournament going to be, how big it is for the U.S. I mean, we're seeing eyeballs on hockey that aren't normally there. We're seeing big-time, you know, internet celebrities. Tom Brady's talking about the game, as we're hearing on our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. I mean, there's just an insane amount of awareness on this right now, and you've played in Minnesota, Detroit, Boston, some of the bigger American markets for hockey, but, you know, what can this do for the game in general south of the border, where at times they still struggle to really win over the American hockey fan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, first, you know, how you started that was, how will this be remembered? I think it'll be the tournament that everyone talks about. They'll probably even forget the name, but they'll be like, that tournament that brought international hockey back onto the map in a big, big way. And,
yeah,
you know, that's coming from a guy that played in the Olympics last time around. Like, that's international hockey, but this is what we're waiting for, is what we're watching tonight, right? Like, that's what everyone's been waiting for. And you can see that when you get the best in the world playing against each other with especially the type of intensity that they came out with, and you look at what's going on in other leagues, like, how can you not be drawn to this? And you brought up, like, I've played in bigger cities down in the States, but, you know, I've also spent time in the minors, and, you know, I was in Des Moines, Iowa for 3 years. I did not go there thinking that it was going to be a great environment to be playing hockey, but you bring a team somewhere, you show them the passion and the intensity of a hockey game, people are going to show up. Like, it's one of the better rinks in the American League. They get a bunch of fans now, and it's a great setup. But again, like, it just shows, it doesn't matter the market, but if you put a good product in and show them hockey, they're going to show up because it's an unbelievable game.
Well, especially when you see the intensity and the pace and the level of best-on-best like we have so far in this tournament. And, you know, as far as the Canucks are concerned, they're back at it again. I mean, it's coming up quick. I mean, it's Thursday already. Before you know it, they have back-to-backs coming up Saturday and Sunday in Vegas, then going to Utah. And we got some news on the injury front with Thatcher Demko being gone for the entire road trip at least, and who knows how much longer. Like, what's your kind of take on where the season might be going for the Canucks into the final third, 27 games to go, and it all begins again on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, you listen to the guys, and, you know, they're all excited to be back and back skating. And, you know, this is the first time that, you know, majority of these guys have ever had a break like this during a season. And, you know, in Europe, you have two of these every season, two-week breaks, one in the first half, one in the second half. And it was really weird the first time I got to do it. And it's so long off. And then, but you have this real excitement to get back. And then you throw in there that they finished, you know, ever since the Miller trade, all the games past that, like, the team responded. They were playing really well and really finding, you know, starting to find their groove as a team that uses their speed and attacks the net and playing good hockey. So, you know, everything seems to be moving the right direction. And then, of course, they get hit with that Demko news. And, you know, as disappointing as that is, like, and I don't mean this to sound harsh because we all know what a healthy Thatcher Demko brings to this Canuck team, and we saw it in the start before that he got hurt, you know, just how good he played again. But, you know, he had a big injury. He came back in the middle of the season. He's trying to come back and has the little setback. Then he comes back and plays for a while and has another little setback. Like, this is just something that I think is going to be there for him until he can get a full summer of training back under him and get his conditioning up to where it is. And, like, it's really hard playing catch-up in the middle of an NHL season. I couldn't imagine as a goalie. I just know as a player how hard it is. So it's something that obviously the team's dealt with, though, and they're used to him kind of going in and out of the lineup right now, and Kevin Lankin has been playing great and just had another couple good showings at the Four Nations. So, you know, again, I think there's a lot to be you know, excited and looking forward to for the back half, or back third here, I should say.
Landon, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, you too, guys.
There he is, Landon Ferraro, joining us here on Canucks Central. And yes, Canucks back to action on Saturday, 7 o'clock start against the Vegas Golden Knights, and then Sunday, less than 24 hours later, plus moving time zones, they will play the Utah Hockey Club, the Utahns, Sunday at 5 o'clock. Of course, we'll have pregame starting up an hour before each puck drop, but the focus back to tonight's game. Canada missing Josh Morrissey with the late scratch due to illness, and don't want to hate on Thomas Harley because he's still a very good player, but Morrissey's been really good in this tournament. Morrissey's a really good defenseman, so it's not nothing losing Josh Morrissey from your lineup.
No, it's a big one. It's a big one, and I do like Thomas Harley a lot. And I think sometimes getting a young guy in there, it's good, especially somebody that's going to be really excited to play. And having Makar back is going to be the big thing more than anything else. But losing Morrissey is huge, especially for a blue line that doesn't have as much high end. When you go past Cale Makar, Morrissey's pretty much up there afterwards,
if
right?
If you think about it from the start of the tournament, you're missing Theodore and now Morrissey. So two of the guys that you had penned in to be, you know, on your top six. And so now you're down to your fourth and fifth choice on the left side to play defense.
And
so it just means more Sanheim, more Harley, and that's, you know, no disrespect to those guys, but yeah, I'd obviously rather have Theodore and Morrissey in those spots.
Same. I will say, though, like I like Sanheim a lot. I think Sanheim is more than fine, so I'm okay with it. And I like Thomas Harley, too, so I think it's
Sanheim-Parayko is like Rick Tocchet's dream pairing, you know? They're going to take up space and be the shutdown pair
for
sure.
Yeah, man, and they're good defensively, and
on even offensively, Sanheim moves the puck fine, does some really good things as well. Like, and I thought he created a couple of decent chances the other game too. So I don't really mind at all what Sanheim can bring. And if you look at it from the American standpoint, I mean, they don't have Quinn Hughes, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, they're missing a pretty high end player too. So I think from the injury standpoint, I'm okay with it. I think it's purely. I don't think we're going to be sitting here and talking about, you know, injuries were the reason why Canada didn't win this game. I think a lot of people wonder, is it going to be goaltending, right? Now, for the Americans, we spoke about this earlier, but Chris Kreider is in for Kyle O'Connor. And Brady Tkachuk, for those wondering, did take the warm-up, so he's going to play. So no big changes or unexpected changes. We were kind of assuming that Kreider was going to be in for Kyle Connor based on the skate this morning and some of the buzz coming out of the Four Nations. But he's the one not being in the game. And I think Kyle Connor, I thought the first game I saw him play, he looked fat, like his speed looked fantastic. I was really surprised at how little impact he made in the tournament. Yeah. I wonder if he's 100%.
A lot of the U.S. team is not at 100%. They had some injuries. They had the illness go through their club as well as so did pretty much everybody in this tournament at some point or another. This text comes in. If Canada loses tonight, it will be because of Jordan Binnington. And look, for as much as Saturday I wanted Binnington to make that save on Larkin.
Right.
You know, the Gensel goal, as we talked about with Woodley, probably harder than it looks. He uses deception, plays it as if he's going high, and then slides it along the ice, makes it hard on the goalie who's trying to read where he's going with that puck. So you can look at it a lot of different ways. Bottom line is the other guy made more saves than he did. And that's, you know, when the margins between these two teams are razor thin as they are, that might be what it comes down to, but you know, you can't expect to win too many hockey games when you only score one goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can put Saturday's loss on Binnington, and maybe you'll end up putting a loss on Binnington if that's the way it plays out tonight. But it's really hard to pin it all on a goalie when you only score one on the other guy.
I think that's a big part of the problem. I think the biggest issue for Canada is we truly don't have a goaltender that you look at and say he's one of the best in the world and he can steal this game for us, and I feel confident that he might do it. And I think that's the bigger issue. And yes, would I have liked to see somebody else generally? Yes, but different doesn't mean better always.
Yeah.
And it's not a guarantee that any of the other goalies, like even Logan Thompson, has been so good. He's never been in a situation like this. How would he have handled this moment? Was he going to be good or not? Maybe he would have been, right? And in hindsight, it's going to be easy to look back at it. I think that as much as we can talk and nitpick about who should have been who should not have been the goaltender, and I'm completely in agreement with that. I don't have a ton of confidence in Binnington. But it's not a straight answer. It's not that easy. We don't have an elite goaltender right now.
We'll see what it ends up being tonight. Jordan Binnington against Connor Hellebuck. Canada against the USA. It's the Four Nations face-off finale. We're going to be here at Boston Pizza on Grandview Highway watching the game. Not too many seats still available, if any. But if you're looking for a spot, your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza, the place to watch tonight's game and any big game for that matter. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. 4 o'clock start, Yannick Hansen, plus a mailbag as we'll get you ready for a big time Canucks weekend. But tonight, enjoy the game. Go Canada, go. For producer Josh Elliott Wolf, Arash back at the station. My co-host Sat, I'm Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.